Welcome to a burning fire, Jeremiah 20 and verse 9. Your speaker is Jim Boyd. Most people like to consider themselves as being reasonable and rational, intelligent people. In reading the life of Christ, we find ourselves reading of many miracles, such as Jesus walking on the water, turning water to wine, stilling the tempest, feeding the thousands, healing the sick, casting out demons, even raising the dead. Not only in the life of Christ, but in the Old Testament and many places in the New Testament, we read of workers of miracles by prophets and by the apostles and by others. They are presented as historical records of actual happenings. And we ask, is it reasonable to believe these accounts are true and accurate? Well, let us be impressed with the seriousness of this question. There are many that deny the miraculous. There are those who say they would like to be a disciple of Christ, of whom the Bible speaks, but they cannot accept the records of the miracles. If the reports of the miracles are not reliable, how can we accept anything else written therein to be reliable? If they are not true, does not this place every revelation of the Bible suspect? But on the other hand, if the records of the miracles are true, is it not reasonable to contend for the credibility of the Scriptures and all other teaching? What we're contending has to do with the matter of authority and inerrancy, the infallibility, the reliability, the credibility of the Bible. As we shall note, it even involves more than these matters. Just what is a miracle? Sometimes a miracle is erroneously defined as simply something wonderful and marvelous and sensational, something exceptional and mysterious, something that happens for which people do not have a knowledge of explanation. They simply can't explain why it happened. People call everything from escaping injury in an automobile accident to winning a football game a miracle. But such definitions miss the mark. A miracle is an interference with nature by supernatural power. Supernatural is the key word in discussing miracles. Something other than nature and its laws operate. It is above and beyond the laws of nature. A good definition of a miracle is God steps in and operates in ways contrary to what one expects in nature. There are four attitudes toward miracles, three of which are skeptical of miracles. Miracles are called superstitions of primitive people. People like Abraham and Moses, and even Paul and Luke, they were primitive in their thinking, naive and superstitious, according to some. And that what these men could not understand and rationalize, they simply called a miracle for want of a better explanation. That's what we're told. But as you read about these men, you soon see that they were exceptionally intelligent, well-informed, competent people, far from being outmoded. Even today, their writings are superior. Miracles cannot be brushed aside as reports of some primitive and superstitious people. Some say the records are deliberate deceptions, and again, many things can be said about the biblical writers, but dishonesty is an accusation that simply will not stand. These were people of the highest ethical standards rather than deceivers. And some say the miracles were merely legends that have grown through the years, nothing but stories that were enlarged until gradually they were said to be historical records of the miraculous. But these accounts were not developed over the years and over the periods of time. Eyewitnesses, on-the-spot reporting, if you please, people of the time and the place saw and heard and knew these events firsthand. The miracles recorded in the Bible were not conveying hand-me-down stories. And others say the records of the miracles are actual historical reports of real events. Of course, this is what the Bible contends, and we contend for the Bible. But is this a reasonable explanation? Well, in the words of Isaiah, come, let us reason together. First, why were the miracles performed? Friend, we read that many other signs truly did Jesus in the presence of his disciples, which are not written in this book. But these are written that you might believe that Jesus is the Son of God, and believing have life in his name. In Hebrews 2, 3 and 4, Mark 16, 19 and 20, we learn that the miracles were performed in order to prove and to verify the message that the apostles taught, showing that Christ was approved of God and that the truth was being spoken by them. Now we have to admit that it is reasonable for one who claims to be the Son of God to provide something as evidence of his claim. We would expect that. Well, Jesus did that. It is unreasonable to think that he would expect people to accept what he said without any evidence that it was true. We would have to contend that it is reasonable to expect miracles whether they ever occurred or not. But we believe they occurred. After all, what is the nature of a miracle? As we have noted, it is a supernatural event. Miracles were not done to be freakish or capricious. They weren't done for show. They were not just providing entertainment or anything such as that, but always constructive in nature and for the promotion of that which was good. And even when there was destruction of something evil that was done by some miracle, this was for the good. Miracles were designed to do something, not just display something. They were designed to exhibit the character of God and to teach his truth. They are always established by witnesses, often large number of witnesses. In working miracles, God is often simply doing something quickly and on a smaller scale that he does through nature all the time. For instance, the feeding of the thousands, the 5,000, the 4,000, from 5 loaves and 2 fishes, or from 7 loaves and a few fishes, this was miraculous. But we must remember that God provides through natural laws all the food mankind eats anyway. He does this in thousands of fields every year, as the farmer sows and reaps the harvest, and the food is purchased and distributed. All healing is divine healing, inasmuch as God heals. But the healings recorded in the Bible were done contrary to what nature provides. It is not unreasonable to think that God, who created the entire universe, would have the ability to intervene if and when he so chose. Surely the one who set the laws of nature in motion has the power to regulate them, to speed them up or to completely disregard them, slow them down, or whatever he may decide to do. Considering the power of God, miracles are not unreasonable. The explanation and reasonableness for miracles is found in the very first verse of the Bible. In the beginning, God. My dear listening friend, once one has accepted the reality of God, nothing else recorded in the Bible concerning God is difficult to accept. Men cannot go beyond 3 words into the Bible before they disagree over the basic foundation. In fact, some now even deny there was a beginning, but most are not so foolish. Science and experience shows that something does not come from nothing. Everything is the result of a cause. It had a beginning. The Bible says that God existed before anything else was, and the attributes of the power of the existence of all things of God is seen in the manifestation of the things he made. The Bible does not set out to prove the existence of God, but it begins with the premise that God is. The Bible reveals God. Nonetheless, evidences are found throughout the Bible for the existence of God, which is another deserving theme from our present one. But from the front to the back, the Bible declares, I am that I am. Now, once you admit the all-powerful, all-knowing, ever-present, eternal God, the rest of the Bible presents no difficulty. The evidence for the existence of God is overwhelmingly one-sided. It would be unreasonable to think that God could not do such things as the miracles recorded in the Bible Therefore, the reasonableness of miracles reduces itself to belief in God and His existence. It is absurd to believe in God and deny the creation, which was a miracle. The existence of God is proved by the law of cause and effect. Is it reasonable to believe that this massive, immense, intricate universe just somehow accidentally happened? The probability of such a thing is totally impossible, and such cannot even be mathematically expressed. That nothing was and something just happened and produced this universe is the most unreasonable and absurd explanation the mind can feature. Matter is not eternal. We're not so foolish as to contend a building just happened, or a car just happened, or a wristwatch just happened. How ridiculous for people to contend that nothing existed but something happened, and here we are. Some have taught that the earth was thrown off the sun. Well, there's no evidence for this. But when you want to deny God, evidence is not too important. Even so, we would ask the question, where did the sun come from? You still have not eliminated the existence of God. It was a right powerful and wise sun that had the capacity to provide what this earth provides with just a throw-off. We're told that all living creatures, plant, animal, came from a single living cell that somehow evolved, and over the eons of time, we have come to the point that we are now. It is not yet determined what we might become. One of the biggest lies perpetrated on an otherwise educated society is the contention that organic evolution says all living things have evolved from a single cell is a fact. My dear listening friend, it is not a fact. It is not even a remote possibility. Scientific fact proves evolution impossible. You'll not hear that from the sophisticates who like to deny God. But once again, as we say, who cares about evidence if you want to do your own thing? In the frantic search for something other than God before whom we live and to whom we must give an account, the lie of organic evolution is taught as a fact. We need only ask, where did the original cell come from, to show how unreasonable is the denial of God? The evolutionary theory not only denies God, it denies the Bible, it denies scientific fact, it denies every decent and worthy virtue in the world. But evolutionists deny the existence of God anyway. The complexity, the design, the plan, the pattern, the system of our universe proves the existence of a supreme mind, a designer, a planner of it. From the microscopic to the expanse of outer space, there is evidence of intelligence behind it all. The events of space probing so prominent today can be accomplished only because of the precision of the operation of this universal and colossal accident or explosion, as some would say. Who can believe it? All the design, they say, has no purpose behind it at all. Well, this is what the deniers of God would have us to believe. Friend, such is most unreasonable. The only reasonable explanation for the existence of the universe is the reality of God. The reality of God makes belief in the miracles reasonable. Christianity was founded upon the miraculous. There is no such thing as a non-miraculous Christianity. The way of hope and of life and of salvation, the way of peace and joy and an eternity in heaven and all else is founded on the miraculous. God stepped in, doing for man what man could not do for himself. The incarnation of Jesus was a miracle. His perfect life was a miracle. The affirmation and confirmation of his teaching was accomplished through the miracles. No faith rests so completely on the reasonableness of miracles as does the faith authored by Christ. Nothing is more reasonable than the miraculous because nothing is more reasonable than the contention that God is. The age of miracles, however, has come and gone. There is neither the need for them, nor do those endued with such power survive today. The fact that miracles are not being performed today says nothing against the power of God. God does not have to keep proving and proving and proving His power nor His word. That has been done. His word has been confirmed. And we're expected to accept it on the basis of testimony that cannot and will not be shaken by the theories and the philosophies of the so-called wise men of this world. And we confidently say to one and all, let no man shake your faith in the records of God's operations as recorded in Scripture by the appeal that they are unreasonable. The testimony, the evidence, and the proof of the reasonableness of miracles is on the side of historical reality. We can have confidence in the biblical record regarding such things. This has been A Burning Fire, and your speaker is Jim Boyd. Until next time.